Okay, I'm your host Brandon, and thank you for joining us on our first ever episode. Big thanks to everyone out there for being patient whilst we put this together. I know it's been a long time coming. Throughout this podcast series, we're going to be looking at the past, present and future of all things Disney Parks, something that gets us really, really excited. This first episode is going to be slightly different than what we previously announced on our Instagram, with no guests joining us. We just wanted to get something out there, and hopefully we'll have a guest join us on the next episode. So today, we're looking into the unopened Disney's America, a proposed park that was going to be built in Haymarket, Virginia. Join us as we take a look into the past and the story behind Disney's America. So everyone has their favourite Disney parks or their favourite Disney attractions, and everyone knows and loves these parks, you know, be it California, Florida, Paris, anywhere. But what about those parks or those attractions that didn't get opened or didn't make it off the drawing board? Disney's America is actually one of the biggest and actually got quite far, but not a lot is known about it. If we look back at November 11th, 1993, Michael Eisner announced his plans for a history-based park to be built in Haymarket in Northern Virginia. Eisner explained that a trip to Colonial Williamsburg 4 years earlier had sparked the influence for the park that would come to be known as Disney's America. Disney jumped straight in, already owning the options for up to 3,000 acres of land needed for the project at the time of announcement. So to begin with, there was a lot of support for the park. Local government, politicians, all were in favour, and many local residents of Haymarket voiced their support, knowing that this would provide a huge economic boost to the area. Things really couldn't look any better for Disney. After the announcement, in March 1994, Governor Allen proposed an incentive package of just over $163 million from the state of Virginia to be used to improve the roads and infrastructure prior to the park being built. So this remains one of the costliest incentive packages offered by the state, and really must have helped boost the confidence of Disney, and more importantly, Eisner, with this now becoming one of his pet projects. So what was this park going to look like? How much different was it going to be to what we already had and we already knew and loved? So the park itself was planned to be around 125 to 165 acres. Now size-wise, if we compare this to what we already know, Disneyland in Anaheim is currently 85 acres, or soon to be around 100 acres with the opening of Star Wars Galaxy Edge. So this is going to be a fair-sized park, which was going to contain 9 different lands, all themed around a different era in American histories. I'm not going to go into every single land and the explanation of that, as we could be here for quite a while, but I just thought I'd pick out a couple of them that actually stood out to me and would have made this a lot different to what we know and love about Disney. So firstly, Crossroads USA. So this was going to be based on the 1800 to 1850 period, and this was going to be a pre-Civil War era village that would have served as the hub of Disney's America. So guests would enter under an 1840s train trestle, which would have featured antique steam trains circling the park. But this really stood out to me as, effectively, this is Main Street USA, but earlier than what that's based on. So all the parks around the world have an entrance that all basically have a shared theme and look familiar. If you were to go into Disneyland or Disneyland Paris or Walt Disney World, you'd have a sense of familiarity as you walk up Main Street USA. Now this would have been close, but potentially different, being based a lot earlier than what that time period was. Then there was Native America, so 1600 to 1810. Now this was going to be a recreation of a Native American village that would have reflected the tribes that were known in that part of the country. This one I found quite interesting, as it actually would have had one of the standout attractions for the park, which was going to be a whitewater river raft ride that would guests would have travelled throughout the area, being based on the Lewis and Clark expedition. The next up we have the Civil War Fort area. Now, this is probably one of the most controversial areas, and when we come to the objections a little bit later on, maybe you'll understand why. But this was going to be based around 1850 to 1870 and would have featured a effectively life-sized replica of a Civil War fort with an actual replica battlefield next to it where Civil War reenactments would be staged and would take place. Not really something you think about when you think of Disney. And last up for one of the areas that I found really interesting is Victory Field. So this was going to be 1930 to 1945, and guests would have experienced what American soldiers faced in the defence of freedom during the World Wars. So it's going to resemble an airfield, and actually would have had planes on exhibition on the runway. And that would have led to aerial shows that would have been going throughout the day. And there would have also been a themed roller coaster named Dogfighter, which was going to be potentially the world's first dueling roller coaster. So it would have been a big first for Disney. But as I was saying, a lot of these areas don't really fit into what we know and love about Disney. It's very different being historical, and as far as I can see from my research, there wasn't going to be any IP, intellectual property, so nothing movie related or no characters, and that just seems a bit odd. And in addition to the park itself, there was plans for a resort hotel, so with up to 1,300 guest rooms, an RV park with 300 campsites, a 27 hole golf course, and nearly 2 million square feet for retail and commercial development. Additionally, there were plans to sell a portion of the land to a developer to build over 2,000 residential units and donate land for other municipal buildings, so schools and a library, with Disney intending to leave up to 40% of the total land undeveloped as a green belt between the park and its surroundings, so the local town, local area. So after looking at the park and the plans and what it was going to look like, let's just take a look at what the opposition was and how that started to unravel the plans. So public opposition to the theme park and the development became quite strong as 1994 came on. So there was a prominent group of historians that named themselves Protect Historic America, who were completely against Disney doing this. One of the members, historian David McCulloch, described Disney's America as a potential commercial blitzkrieg, predicting the same urban sprawl that surrounds Disneyland and Disney World for Virginia. Another member, James McPherson, warned that sprawl would desecrate the ground over which men fought and died. Now, when you think about that statement, it's not really hard to see why there was so much concern. Effectively, Disney wanted to come in and build a park in an area with such a strong connection to the Civil War, and more than that, wanted to use its connection, as mentioned earlier, with the Civil War fort theme land to, for want of a better phrase, make money. Alongside the historical opposition, Disney also faced opposition from state legislature. So as 1994 dragged on, it seemed that the Disney park was still popular in Haymarket, but faced opposition from nearby towns who echoed McCulloch's prediction, concerned that gas stations, motels, fast food strips would all spring up in the wake of the park being opened, and the heavy subsidies were being opposed in the state legislature, and it didn't look good for Disney. The final blow came from Republican Michael A. Andrews, a Civil War buff, who introduced a resolution in June 1994 to send a message to Disney not to build the project in the proposed location. He said he was not opposed to Disney or the park as long as the project is built in another location. Andrews was joined in support by Tim Romer and Robert Torricelli, with Torricelli adding that Civil War history should not be taught by Minnie and Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. So this led to Disney announcing they would not build the Disney's America theme park at the originally proposed site. This announcement came on September 28th, 1994, despite the political backing of numerous officials. By the time Disney withdrew the project, the New York Times reported that Disney felt they could not gain public approval, although they had official approval, resulting in unacceptable delays. So Disney put the 600 acres of land they had already acquired up for sale and relinquished options to purchase an adjacent 2,037 acres. The land slated for the proposed park has instead since been used to build tens of thousands of single or multi-family home sites. Since the demise of the project, the proposed road improvements have been on hold and traffic has increased from the housing developments built on the site. Though some residents credit the new housing with attracting a wealthier, more educated population. Since the project, the population of Prince William County has grown by nearly 100,000 people. In addition to scrapping Disney's America, the Walt Disney Company also abandoned other theme park projects in the 90s, including Westcott and Port Disney. So it seems to be a bit of a common theme for that time period. So, is that where it all ended? Not entirely. In 1987, the owners of Knott's Berry Farm announced they were putting the park up for sale. Disney thought about the idea of purchasing the park and re-theming and renaming it Disney's America. There would have been slight changes compared to what was originally planned for the Virginia Park, but the essence would still have been there. This was sadly also not meant to be, and the park was eventually purchased by Cedar Fair, remaining as Knott's Berry Farm. So there you have it, a brief history of what could have been Disney's America. It's amazing and interesting to look at what could have been and visualise some of the great ideas that would have been included in the park. But more importantly, it's good to understand that Disney doesn't always get it right. The history of Disney parks is something that really excites us, and we hope to share more with you in later episodes. This is only a short background to the Disney's America story, but if you want to hear more, Defunctland, Bright Sun Films and Rob Plays all have great videos covering the topic on YouTube. And as time goes on, we hope to get better and better at presenting this podcast, so please bear with us as we work it all out. Also, apologies for the occasional cough. I'm recording this whilst having a terrible cold, so not the greatest of voices. But thank you for listening, and we hope to catch you next time.